Hi, and welcome to the Purpose Podcast, the show that helps you to discover your purpose and release equity within. My name is Andre Spence, the Purpose Coach, and I speak, I coach, and I run events. But life wasn't always so purposeful. Starting out my career on a reality show called Sweet 16, scouring through multiple different types of jobs within the creative and entertainment field, the fact is I always ended up feeling fear, frustration, and failure. But it was my mentors that helped me navigate and discover my purpose. It's my hope through these sit-downs with my influential friends and industry leaders that this podcast will serve as your mentor and help you discover your purpose and release equity.
We have Luke November, everybody. Clap, 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 clap. Clap for yourself. There's nobody else inside here, sir. You need to clap. Okay, cool. So what I do with everybody, they write their own bios. I think Luke's... I'm not going to say what I think. Luke, I'm just going to read out Luke's bio. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Cool. So Luke November is one of East London's most unique, promising, up-and-coming urban acts. Having taken the industry by storm, Luke November has been renowned for a unique sound with a positive message which sets him apart from the rest. Is that true, Luke?
Yeah.
Luke has performed at many festivals over the year and recently done an acoustic set for...
So Far Sounds.
Says Iconic. Oh, Iconic So Far Sounds. Which will be set to release very soon. When is it going to be released, Luke? Do you know?
I'm still liaising with their team.
Okay, cool. Go on. Luke November released his first 5-track EP in November 2019. Yep. So stay tuned. Give him a round of applause. All right, Luke. It's my job to unpack your story.
Okay.
And the reason why we're doing this is not to highlight you and to be like, oh, you've lived a good life or a bad life. But more, you know, a lot of time people show the glory. So I know you've done stuff with Mayor of London and lots of different places. But I really like the story. And I really like that so that, you know, people can really take away principles, take away gems, so that they can help them to navigate through the terrain of life, which is not always so easy.
Yeah.
Cool. So, Luke, when was you born? And don't embarrass me because, Luke, I know you're young, you know what I mean? So, let's go. When was you born?
I was born on the 25th of November, 1997.
Is that what you call November? Is that your real surname?
No.
Oh, so what's your actual name then?
My real surname?
Yeah.
Doily.
Wow. That's a different one. Okay, so Luke November?
Yep.
So, Luke, what I'm going to ask you to do is to literally to start from when you was born. And just give us the progression. So we're going to go through like who you was born, your parents, primary school, secondary school, sixth form, whatever, and to where you are now.
Okay. So was born into family like my dad's side's Jamaican, my mum's side's Dominican. Yeah, so just going through school, primary school, I was in love with Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson, Usher, Justin Timberlake.
I used to be so scared of Michael Jackson.
Really?
I was scared of the man, especially when he turned white. Not going to lie. When he passed away, that's what I'm going to say.
Nah, man, you can't do that.
I
was upset when he passed away.
You was upset? Yeah. I'm not going to say what I thought. I'm not. I'm just scared. I used to run away from him. Well, couldn't run away from him, but there was apparently, when I was younger, my mum went to a wedding and there was Michael Jackson impersonator and I ran away scared. And I used to have dreams that used to date my aunties. It was just so strange. Okay, cool. You love Michael Jackson?
Yeah. So I grew up listening to... He was like the main one for me, Michael Jackson. Just like from the dancing to the songs to the music videos, even though I was scared of Thriller.
Same as me.
That was, yeah. But then obviously I grew up listening to him. He was like my main person. I used to watch him on the TV from as young as I can remember. Just watching him on the TV, copying his dance moves. And that was like my first inspiration to even dance, because that's what I started off doing. Music wasn't even in my mind until about 3 years ago. So it was him, Usher, Justin Timberlake. Those are like the three main ones for me growing up.
Justin Timberlake?
Yeah.
Who else?
Usher.
And Usher, perfect.
And then there was like bands like Blue that I used to listen to.
Yeah.
So yeah, just I was very into like dance and acting from a young age in primary school. I was always wanting to get involved in the plays, wanting to be the main character. One thing I used to do as well is that me and my friends, we used to create like dances in the playground, and at the end of the day, we was able to share it back to our class. We used to do that quite a bit.
What's form of dance?
No, like we used to form like create.
I mean, what style of dance?
Oh, street dance, hip hop.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was self-taught, and my brother used to dance as well. So we used to dance at home in the mirror and then do different moves. We used to watch like music videos from again.
To Man in the Mirror?
Man in the Song's mirror. A bit slow. Okay. More like Caught Up by Usher. Like I Love You. Yeah. Like I Love You, Justin Timberlake. Yeah. Copying those kind of routines, Smooth Criminal.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, just coming up with stuff like that. So yeah, I was involved in all that. And even when I left school, when I left primary school in year six, I choreographed, because obviously that was around, that was the same year Michael Jackson died. Like before my Leavers Assembly, he died, I think, a couple months before. So I choreographed like a tribute to him, because my teachers knew I'd loved him from young. So I was able to do a tribute to him as like the last thing in my school. So I got like a suit and the chubby hat, the shoes, and then yeah, I did that. And then moving into secondary school, again, I was still into dance. I met another boy who danced in my year. We used to perform, we created like a little duo as well. We auditioned for Got to Dance as well, I forgot about that. But it wasn't on TV. And then going into year nine, I kind of dropped dancing, I stopped. I don't know, I just kind of felt like it was just getting long. I wasn't really my passion. Acting started to overtake the dancing. Yeah, so then I just had my mind fixated on acting, and then things like Youngers, Top Boy was out, I wanted to be in stuff like that. And I just envisioned myself going to Hollywood and just being a big Hollywood star. And I took drama for GCSE as well. And then, yeah, I had my heart set on acting all through that time. And then I went into college. I did performing arts at BCE, which was DVA at the time when I started. And then it changed to BCE. Did a 2-year course there.
You're just acting there, did you say?
Yeah, yeah. Just pure acting. Met lots of good people there. And then it's funny, like when I left college, everyone was going uni, everyone was going to acting school. But then I don't know, I just kind of felt like I should have gone into this internship that was with my church in the youth department. So then I was just like, do you know what? I'm going to do this for a year. Then after that year's done, I'm going to go into acting. But I genuinely felt I had everything set to pursue acting, to pursue the creative arts. But then something was just telling me, yo, just do this internship for a year, clear your head. Make sure things are in place for afterwards, you can go off and do what you need to do with acting. So I was just like, all right, cool. So then I did the internship for a year. And then in that year, obviously it's with my church, they do sort of development on your walk with God, your own personal development and stuff like that. And then obviously it's youth work. So we was youth leaders in our youth group. We'd go into schools and we'd do like workshops in the borough. And over that year, I was just learning a lot about myself, uncovering a lot of buried issues as well. And then I just heard God's voice. It was in, I'd done the internship in September, and when it got to the new year in January, which would have been January 2017, I felt God's voice, and literally the way things were set out in my life, the way doors were opening, it was just channeling me towards the music industry, which for me was, it was confusing, because from young, it's always been dance and acting, dance and acting. So now how old was I then? About maybe 19. And it's just like music. So I was confused. So I was very confused. I was just like, God, are you sure you're telling me to do this? But then there was just so much confirmation that there was no questioning about it. So then I went into music in 2017 and I released a song that I made, but it was just for banter. It's called Uber. And it's just, I was just playing around with like sounds and the beat. I released that. And then I was going to carry on. Like I went studio, wrote a bunch of songs, recorded them, and I said to myself, all right, cool, it's not wise for me to just start releasing now. So what I did is I just, after that release in 2017, I just took the whole year to learn as much as I could, find beats, write songs, experiment with my sound, go to events, meet different people. And I said to myself, all right, cool, in 2018 is when I'm gonna properly start just banging out this music. So I started doing that in 2018. So in 2018, started releasing, and then what are we, 2020 now? Yeah. So when did I release that song? In 2018, in October 2018, I released my song that's currently my best song that's doing well so far. It's got the most views. It's on my channel as well. It's got the most views out of all my songs, even the ones that are on like bigger platforms like Graham Daily and stuff, and even the streams as well. Is the most. So after that song, I really, there was a shift.
What's the song?
Call Me Bad.
Okay.
and there was a shift in just my my positioning. So in terms of after that song, my manager, who's currently managing me now, he got in contact with me. Then we started working together, and then even just the way certain obstacles are no longer obstacles now that he's managing me, and just the places I've been off the back of that one song, the amount of performances I've got off the back of that, the recognition I've got off the back of that as well, that I really felt like it took a turn. So then going into 2019, just it was like my first year working with my manager.
2019?
Yeah, 2019. So we went into 2019 and I released a remix for Call Me Bad, and I just did a number of releases throughout the year, and obviously we're fresh into 2020 now, and I'm here.
Amazing. Give him a round of applause. Go on, Mike. All right, you know what? It's going to be real because, like, I like... That's good. I think what you've given us is a summary of how you've become the musician that you are today.
Yeah.
Right? To me, it speaks more about, you know, the things that you do rather than who are you. Who's Luke November? Like,
okay, you want to know?
Who's Luke?
Okay.
Who are you?
Me. Who am I? In what sense? I could go.
I asked the question. You've spoken a lot about doing, but who are you? Like, I don't know. I just want to know, beyond the music, beyond the acting, beyond the rapping, who are you?
I'm a passionate person. I'm passionate about people, young people. I'm passionate about development, and people's growth. Like, I always look for the best in people, and I always look to see if I can draw out the best in people as well. I'm not this kind of person that wants to be better than everyone. I want everyone to be on like the same level. I want everyone to win. And I suppose it's like my heart's become in line with God's heart and just what he wants for people. And that's just now become my passion. So if I see people struggling, I want to be able to share wisdom. I want to be able to let them know that there's someone there that genuinely cares about them. It's not about how many cars you got, how much money you got, how much status you got. For me, it's like, are you okay?
I want to ask you something. But in order to have that kind of compassion, you said that if you see somebody struggling, if you see somebody struggling, you want to be able to help them. But in order to be able to help somebody that's struggling, oftentimes you have to go through something to have that kind of level of compassion.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm trying to express? It doesn't mean I'm right. I'm not no psychiatrist, as I tell everybody, or psychologist. What would you say has been the biggest struggle in your life?
I would say one thing that's held me back a lot from a young age is not trusting people, so not talking. And due to me not talking, it's like I can never learn to trust someone because I'm not giving anyone a chance. So for a majority of my life, I was suffering in silence, and I'd project an image as though I'm okay. But deep down, I'm actually not. And obviously that births and breeds a lot of insecurity. And it's like what I would look for in people to latch onto for trust, I couldn't find. And it's, I suppose it's because prominent figures in my life who I did trust exited my life. Not purposely. Like my granddad, he was someone who was just amazing to me. He was everything. He was perfect. He used to pick me up from school. He used to do activities with me and my brother. He was someone who genuinely loved me and my brother, and I loved him so much. And he passed away when I was 12.
Mm.
And it's like that shook my world so much. And it kind of threw me in ways that I didn't even know. And then shortly after that, I was in year 7, progressing into year 8. My brother, who I held in high esteem for so long as well, he went off to university. So it's like two of these prominent male figures who I held on to for inspiration, who I looked up to and I wanted to be like, they're gone. And I had no contact with... Well, I couldn't have contact with my granddad, of course, and then I didn't have a phone like that, so I couldn't contact my brother either. So then, I just felt lost, and what I wanted to find in people, I didn't find. So I suppose that's what I want to be now. I want to be to people what I never had, because I know the effect it had on me. And it just took years and years of digging that out, bringing it to the surface, dealing with it, and just moving forward and being able to apply what I've learned into helping other people.
Okay, nice. Thank you. You said that It says you had your 1 year internship.
Yeah.
At church.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just take it back. Cool. So I know this is, you don't really kind of expect this in sort of interviews, right? You kind of expect it's majority of times people are just going to ask you just about your career, etc. And I know that you're doing very well. And the reason why I got you on here is, and the reason why I invite you to the events. How do you find the events, by the way?
They're sick. Very powerful. I look forward to them, you know.
Thank you so much. How do we even know each other again?
Wait, how do you remember meeting me?
I can't remember. I just know that you're cool.
Aw, thanks. That's it. I actually remember meeting you years ago when you had Cane Rose at your cousin's house, bonfire night.
Right.
You probably didn't notice me because I was like, well, how old would I have been? I probably would have been about 6.
Okay. Which cousin?
PJ.
Oh,
yeah.
I don't even remember going there.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember I used to see you like every year because they used to do it every year. I've seen you like 2-3 times. And then I saw you again a number of years later in McDonald's in King's Cross. And you offered to buy me McDonald's. And then obviously...
That sounds like me.
Number of years later, I met you at the... What was it? Alive Nights at Dartford.
Okay.
And then you was behind me and you tapped me and you offered to pray for me.
Awesome.
And then we stayed in contact from there.
Wow. That's a good story, isn't it? Wow, thanks. It's like you're educating me. Awesome. Thank you so much. That's really kind. I just want to take it back. So you got your mum and dad, right? So your dad, I presume, hasn't been around like that, right?
Yeah, no. Him and my mum, well, when I was 13 months, they divorced. So then I stayed with my mum. Then he went to live elsewhere. But we still had contact in the sense of every other week he'd come down and have me and my brother. Well, when I got old enough, he would come and collect me and my brother. Then we'd spend like the weekend with him and then come
back. That was consistently.
Yeah.
Do you think that if your parents were actually living harmonious together in the beginning, it would have meant that you wouldn't have so many buried feelings? Or issues, I think you referenced. I think you said buried issues. Because you spoke about prominent figures.
Yeah.
But then your dad would be a prominent figure as well. Mm-hmm. He would kind of be there. Then you'd have that kind of argument. And then all of a sudden this kind of goes and then you realise it comes back a little bit.
Yeah.
And so therefore, do you think that some of the trust issues that you would have with some people would be because of that kind of relationship?
Yeah, like I feel like probably, like, not even probably, like not having a dad, even it's come out more so in my older years, in terms of becoming a man. So like I've had to kind of find it myself, but what a lot of people have said to me when they've given words to me is find your father in God and stuff like that. So like the thing is, my dad's there, but because I've not grown up with him, it's just like certain questions that you can be like, oh dad, I can't really do that because I don't really feel comfortable. It's a bit,
and it's a trust thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess, but I do trust my dad. I know I can go to him and I know we can have good conversations because we've had good conversations before, but it's just that familiarity. There's a lack of familiarity there in terms of that aspect. But I suppose if they were together, I think things would have been different. I can never imagine it because my life is the way it is now. I don't know what it could have been like. But yeah.
So how do you go about dealing with some of those insecurities? So I suppose some of your biggest fears would be fear of rejection.
And also not knowing how to deal with men as well. Like that's one thing I find, because I feel like with a lot of guys that grow up without dads, they either overcompensate or they're extremely shy and nervous when it comes to
On two ends of the section, isn't it? Two ends of the spectrum.
Yeah.
So you're either out there or you're going to be within yourself.
Yeah, and there's no balance. So for me, I've literally done both. So more so in my young years, 17, 18, if I'd get in a confrontation with a man, my natural reaction is I need to fight. And then it will get aggressive and stuff like that. But then a couple years later, my thing's more taken aback by it. So not that men can walk over me now. Now it's different. I feel like I'm definitely found my feet and I'm just solidifying myself. But I say a year or two ago, my main thing was like, I'll just let a lot of things slide. I won't say anything. I won't challenge anything. And it's because I didn't know how. There's those kind of issues. And also just feelings of envy as well, when my friends would be like, oh, my dad's taking me here, my dad's doing this, my dad taught me how to drive, my dad did it, and it's just like, I can't do that. Or even things like that it's kind of stereotypically dads will want to do that mums won't want to do. So it's like, I can't do that with my mum because my mum's not into that stuff, which is fair enough. She doesn't want to, but yeah.
Just that football, for example.
I was rubbish at football.
I was rubbish, but I told you I was rubbish earlier. Come on. But when I was in year six, he still was the head of this little team thing with my friends and made me think that I could play.
I'm not going to lie, I was a wicked defender though, because I just kicked the ball.
I don't know what the heck I was doing. I was running all up. I was running all over the gaff. So, who are your mentors now?
My mentors now. So, one mentor who I hold in high esteem is a man called Michael Dua. He was
my... You say Michael Dapper?
No, I don't know. He's funny though. But yeah, Michael Dua, he's been in my life for a number of years. Just the way he thinks, the way he is as a Christian, he's very organic, which is what I like. He really takes from the heart of God rather than... Because obviously if you look back, like if you look at like religion, it's very sort of man-made, structural and stuff like that. And it's sometimes you can't... Like God's always changing. Like not change, God's himself, but in terms of just the way the world moves, regardless of how much the world change, God stays the same, but he's still... relevant, and he is still tangible. Like you can still, let me think of a way to articulate this. The world changes, God doesn't, but he still manages to be able to have impact, if that makes sense. So if you look at rules, okay, let's put it like this. The way school worked 100 years ago, if you put those rules into schools now, it won't work, because the generations have changed, the way people think changed, the way society's influenced people has changed. You can't do that. However, God will stay the same, but the impact will, he can still get in there. He can still work in people regardless. God doesn't have to change the way he is or whatever. And I was relating that to Michael. And the thing is with Michael, I was talking that to religion. So he doesn't go by religion, because I feel like religion holds people back. And I feel like when, in times like now, for example, the way we did church 100 years ago isn't going to be effective now. So you have to adapt the way you do church to fit the climate. And he's a visionary. He's about moving forward. He's about reaching new people. He's about doing that. And that's what I love. And I'm like, life's too short for me to waste time. I need to do what God needs me to do, regardless of judgment.
So what does God want you to do?
So God wants me to just impact the hearts of people in general. But in this season specifically, young people. But I'm going to impact the creative industry as a whole through acting, dance, music.
So you're still hoping and still expecting to be doing the other things?
Yeah. 100%. And I want to use the platform I'm on to not only reach people, but to reach the people behind the scenes. So what I mean by that is to reach directors, to reach other artists. Because it's like, cool, this is an artist. And this microphone's the artist.
It's a podcast, I can't see. They can on YouTube.
Okay. Okay, so this microphone is the artist.
Yeah.
And the sound waves are the people. Now, I could be going there trying to change the frequency of the sound wave, but if I go to the microphone directly, that's where the change is going to be most effective. So that's what I want to be doing. Not only just working on the people, but working on the sort of projector that the people receive what they receive it from.
That's good.
That's the big goal. And obviously, I've got loads of plans and stuff like that, but that's between me and God for now. We'll see.
Okay, can you give us an exclusive on here? Or you just don't trust me?
No, it's not even that. Okay, so here's one thing I want to do. So I want to get to a place where I want to generate enough funds to buy houses. And I want to set up a homeless scheme. So I want to buy houses outright, 3-4 houses just to have. And what I want to do is I want to house homeless people and I want to employ people. And I just want to take sort of the homeless people on a journey. So over a set of 6 to 8 months, just a journey of rehabilitation, of training, of teaching, and just to teach them to get back on their feet and hopefully get them into employment after that scheme, where they can then get into their own housing, own way of living and stuff like that, because there's a lack of support for homeless people. And people say things like, oh, why don't they just go to the job centre? But it's not as easy. They don't have an address, they don't have Especially
how do you know all of this information?
Because I work with the council, and then when we do a lot of projects around...
So that's something that you do on the side. So you do your music, and what do you do?
Yeah, so I work in a school as a mentor in a pupil referral unit, and I work with the council. I'm a part of a youth consultancy service, and we do a lot of things within the borough and the community. We're specifically youth-focused, but we do cater to the wider community as well. So when there's different projects on homelessness, housing, and stuff like that, I like to sit in on the focus groups and hear what's what and what's happening. So yeah, like it's hard for homeless people, especially ones that come from abroad as well. So if I can do set up that scheme, hopefully it can just make a difference. And if it inspires other people to do the same thing in wider London and even across the world, then even better.
Amazing. What do you want to tell people?
As a whole, I want to tell people that God's real, and that what we have envisioned for our life, or what we have envisioned as success, God just wants to take that to the next level. And the reason why I'm so passionate about God isn't just because I'm a Christian and I have to. It's not even about that. Like, I'm someone who makes decisions based on, like, having enough assurity. I think it goes back to the trust thing. I want to be sure about this thing. So when it came to making a decision with God, it wasn't just something I took lightly or I got gassed one moment. It was ages of pondering, because I grew up going to church. I left and I came back. So my ultimate thing is that what God's done in my life, the way he's changed my mind to think, the way he's allowed me to just process situations, the how aware he's made me of just the world and what I've learned, it's needed. It's not even just I want to know more. It's needed. This is what's, like, a lot of people talk about heaven. One, if that's the main focus, that's gonna get you there. But for me, it's just wisdom. It's just I'm in love with God's heart. Like, I'm just in love with his heart, and I want to see his will done. That's what I want, and I want to spread that. And if people are able to fall in love with God and just see it the way I see it,
what, or even deeper. Will?
His will is for people. He wants to spend eternity with us. He wants reconciliation with us, because obviously after the world fell, there was that almost that break.
Okay.
So he wants to sort of bridge that through Jesus.
Okay.
He wants people to spend eternity with him, and that's what I want for people. Because just from what he's done in my life alone, with my life on earth, is just crazy. And I love it. Not even just in terms of success. Success is second, like, for what he's just done in my heart, the way I am. But even just knowing that there's more. So when I die, I'm going to spend eternity with him in his presence. Like, man, I want people to be as excited as me, even more excited.
Awesome. And last question. Where do you see yourself by the time you're 30?
Whoa, 30?
Don't say, wow, that's me. Thank you.
No, I didn't mean like that. I mean, yeah, like, raw.
Yeah. I'm rolling my eyes.
No, 30, wisdom. Where do I see myself when I'm 30? Married. Maybe one or two kids. I see myself traveling the world, touring. I see myself putting on workshops. I wouldn't mind preaching. Like, I wouldn't mind doing it. I preached before at my youth group, but I wouldn't mind just like testimony wise, talking off the back of my testimony or something like that. I want to visit churches. I want to talk. I want to deliver my story, not even necessarily performing, talking my story. But again, on the flip side, with music, touring, I want to have been in some British TV programs, films. I want to have been at least done a film by 30.
He's having this whole conversation with himself.
Yeah, basically, I want to sell out. I want to sell out Brixton by 30.
Okay.
By myself. Like, obviously, with people, but I want it to be like me as the head. I don't want to be on someone else's bill. I want to be the headliner. I want to sell out Brixton.
Well, you've heard it here first. I'm sure this podcast will still be online. And for people to be able to hear one of your first interviews. Can we give him a round of applause to Luke? Louder. Thank you very much, Luke. It's been a pleasure and it's been an honour to have you today. Guys, if you've liked and enjoyed this podcast, all I'm asking you to do is go on iTunes and make sure you give us a 5-star review. Also, what's your at, sir? What's your at?
On Instagram, it's Luke November. Twitter is Luke November 97. My Snapchat is Luke November.
Luke November. This podcast on Instagram is The Purpose Podcast _. And on Twitter, it's Purpose Podcast _. You can find me. My name's at Andre Spence. And we've got Man Like Mike in the building as well. We should talk about him as well. It's _ Man Like Mike.
Oi.
Yeah. We have a Patreon account as well. So if you want to head over to Patreon website and type in The Purpose Podcast, I'm sure we will pop up. And we would, these microphones are not free. Never is this a venue. So we would appreciate any type of support. Guys, one more round of applause for the audience listening. Thank you.